If you will, turn to the book of Job, chapter 23. As we finish up this morning, what we began last week, when God uses both hands. I'm glad we serve a God that's in control of our lives and takes care of us. And Job is a beautiful book. It's been represented in a lot of different ways. And we know that Job suffered tremendously. And so the theme of Job, the book of Job, is God gave him an accolade that he was perfect. Misinterpreted that a lot of times. We think of the word perfect as somebody that's just without shame, blame, or anything, but we understand that he was a human being, and it doesn't mean perfect in that way. The theme of the book of Job is that it's ever growing. We're always growing. And we began to touch last week that Job is very real. He's going through anguish and pain. And God identifies with our pain. And so the identity of the struggle, we broke it down in a couple categories. Last week we dealt with the identity of the struggle. And that was understanding what our ultimate need is. The book of Job is so in depth and so vast. There's no way to come up here in 20 or 30 minutes to even attempt to touch what it really, really is saying. I can just give you an overview. But as we go back to the book of Job 23, again, I want to read these verses because it really gives an insight on his heart and where he is and the pain that he's suffering. And I believe that every one of us in some way are hurting in some way. The ministry of this last day is to understand where the needs are. And that's what we begin to identify last week is we the identity of the struggle is understanding our need. And here it is, and Job answered and said. Now, chapter 23 is a course of when all his friends have come to him and accused him of going through something or something wrong with you. There's something really, you know how friends like that, you don't need enemies, right? When you're hurting, one of the things that hurts the most is to be insensitive. When you are going through anguish and pain, and you are trying to share that with somebody, and you know in your heart they could care less, don't that add to it? Do you ever wonder sometimes, is anybody care? You know, and that's really when God created the church. Northview or whatever your name of your church is, he created with in mind that there were going to be hurting people there and somebody needs to be sensitive to their hurts. And we know that's got all out of course today and churches are all out of kelter and they're just doing their own thing and the whole time everybody around us is hurting. Job was a perfect man. God said that. Meaning that Job is a story of a life of a man who is not much different than our lives, and it's an insight on what our needs are. That we really need God. And we need God not in a way that's been presented to us in a church form or denomination form or anything. We need an intimate relationship with Him. And it says, and Job answered. Because all these guys have been telling, well, Job, the reason you're going through this is because of this. And so now he's kind of believing some of that. And he said, and Job answered and said, even today, verse 2, is my complaint bitter. He's bitter. We dealt with bitterness a little bit last week. That when you begin to go through pain, it's a natural instinct to get bitter. If you've never been bitter, you've never been through anything. So I bet everybody in here has been through bitterness one time or another. And bitterness can be described in a lot of different ways, but really bitterness is an inside anger. You ever heard say, use your inside voice? Well, bitterness is an inside voice in us saying, I don't understand what's going on. I'm really upset. I'm really mad about it. I'm really mad about it. And you don't really express that anger maybe to somebody. And how many of you know that when you hold things in, it tends to get worse? Job was just like that. Job was a human being. He's lost everything he's got. He's lost his family. He's lost his business. He's lost everything that we hold so desperately in our hearts as what life is all about. I mean, I don't even imagine the pain this man is going through. And I want to tell you that your pain is just as real to God as the pain that Job was going through. Your pain may not be real to somebody else, but it's real to you. And it's real to God. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? And Job is saying, I'm bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. And the stroke, meaning his forward motion, has now become so heavy. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Now that's an important part right there. I want you to get that part of that verse right there, because as we begin to identify the struggle, we've heard about God using the right hand. We know that God is powerful. We know that God is omnipotent. We know that God is all that. But what about those times that we're going through things in our life and we don't see that? We need to understand that God is a God who uses both hands. That though I may not see him doing anything, I know that by his left hand he's going to keep me. I love the keeping power of God. How many of you know that we sustain things we go through not in our own strength, not in our own ability, because we serve a God that's got a left hand also, and he's holding us together? How many of you know that you wouldn't be here today if God hadn't held things together for you? Amen? How many of you know that you'd lose your mind at times if it hadn't been for God holding you together? So you're not always going to see the Red Sea split. You're not always going to see all this mighty powerness of God, but I want you to know his left hand is just as powerful as his right hand. Because sometimes it takes more power to keep you. Amen? It takes more faith. Get this. It takes more faith to believe when you don't see nothing. Amen? It takes more faith to keep moving when you don't feel like my stroke is heavy. As Job was saying, it takes more faith to get up and get yourself together and keep going when you don't feel like there's anything worth going for. Am I real this morning? Amen. Amen. This is Job saying, and Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. So that brings us to the second part. We all understand that there's a need, and I want to tell you, wherever your struggle is, I said this last week, but let me reiterate on it. Wherever your struggle is, that's where your need is. Wherever your struggle is, that's where your real need is. I think we all struggle sometime with lack of faith. We all struggle with fear. We all struggle with all different kind of things in our life. Sometimes we struggle with how we look or how we feel or how we appear, you know, insecurities of life. We struggle with our future. We struggle, will there be a future? Am I going to make it? Am I going to have enough money to live? Am I going to be healthy? You know, we all struggle with those things. The need in our lives is to struggle. And God illuminates the life of a man called Job to let us understand that struggle is going to be a part of life. The devil stood before God early in this conversation and said, if you'll just let me touch him. Now, some people may say, well, that's a very impersonal end. You know, that's not really good of God to turn. God wants you to know that no matter what the enemy brings to you, he is sufficient enough to bring you through it. Amen? Now, that don't mean a thing to you if you're not going through nothing. But if you're going through something, it's nice to know that, God, I don't understand this. I can't get it together. Have you ever been through something that hit you so desperately that you couldn't sleep at night? Have you ever been through something so desperate that fear just attacks you to the point that you feel this fire go up and down your backbone? Have you ever had that kind of fear that what in the world am I going to do if such and such happens? What in the world am I going to do if I lose this loved one? Or what in the world am I going to do if I lose this job? What in the world? And I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us deal with that. Amen. Job said, this brings to the second point, that not only the identity of the struggle, but I want to bring you to the part of the intensity of the struggle. And the intensity of the struggle is this, that God created Job. God created this book, or enlightens us in this life of this man, because he wants us to understand the searching part. The searching part. Look what he said. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Verse 4. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Here's what Job's saying. Boy, if I could find God, I would tell him what I think. Anybody like that? Boy, I tell you, if I could find God. God, I don't understand. I asked you last week, has anybody here ever been angry at God? I think we all have. Right? We all have been angry, because when you don't understand something, you automatically go in a spin of chaos. And then when God's involved in it, God, what in the world? You see, we identify that right hand. Well, I want to give God praise for doing so and so. I want to give God praise for doing. I want to give God praise. That right hand is right there. But what about when we don't see that right hand? When you don't see God moving, that's when he's moving the most. Amen? Y'all real quiet. Either you're sleepy and on drugs, or you're trying to figure this thing. Or evidently I'm hitting a real spot in your life, because we've all been angry. He said, I would order my cause before him and I would fill my mouth with arguments. God, I want you to give me some answers. I'm not going to do nothing. You know, I've got so mad at God before. I've gone before him like I am somebody. I ain't going to do nothing else. And I hear God say, whatever. You know, you know that word that everybody uses? Whatever.
He's not worried about you.
You know, and I'm thinking, God is God. And I'm telling him I'm not going to do nothing else. You know, he's got a sense of humor, because he sits there and listens to you. And Job is sitting there, and God is not intimidated one bit by this. God wished that you would never have to go through pain. Just like you love your children, you wish that they would never, ever have to go through pain. But sometimes it's in the pain that our progress comes. Look at verse 5. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? God, is it true that you're coming against me because something is wrong in my life? Are my friends telling me the truth? That's why you better be careful who your friends are, right? Because if you're going through something, well, I tell you what I'd do. Be careful of that. Be careful. No. See, look at verse 6. Verse 6 is so real, because have you ever got mad at God and then the next breath you ask him to forgive you for getting mad? Will he plead against me with his great power? And there's a question mark there. Then he says, no, he give me strength. So you see him battling? The whole time you're getting ready to come to church, you're telling God, I ain't going no more. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of struggle. The whole time you're reading your Bible, you say, I ain't going to read it no more. But you're still doing it. Verse 7, this is good right here. There the righteous might dispute with me, so should I be delivered forever from my judge? See, they've judged him. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. This is power. I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. Don't you love the Bible? Oh, the left hand where he doth work. There's that left hand where he doth work. Do you see that? How many of you know God's word is inspired by God? God wrote this. God anointed me in the right this Bible. I still believe that. I still believe. I know I'm old fashioned, but I still believe that this Bible was inspired by me and by God to write it out. This entire word from Genesis to Revelation is a full revelation of God speaking to us. And Job is saying here, on the left hand, where he doth work. Though I don't see it right now, I don't see it going on right now, but I cannot behold him. You see that? Job said, the left hand is working, but I don't see it. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I don't see the right hand either. I cannot see him. And I want to leave you with this last part of this message, is that the searching part is what God wants to illuminate in the book of Job. So many people have dealt with the suffering, and so many people have used suffering. That is not what God is wanting to bring out in this book. God don't get glory in suffering. Just like when your child's sick, you don't enjoy that. You want them to hurt and get over it. But sickness and all this junk we deal with is a part of life. But God is not saying, I want you to understand the book of Job because, well, he just suffered a lot. That's not it. He wants you to see the picture that Job is a book of worship. Now, I want to talk about worship just a second here, because I want you to understand the devil is a liar, and the devil always throws out counterfeit. There's been a fad that's gone through America called worship. And so many people got their ideas of what they think worship is. And worship, I want to say this, worship is not singing a song. Worship is an attitude of the heart. How many of you know that you can sing a song and not mean it? How many of you know you can do praise and worship, you can do a hymn book, you can do whatever, and if it's not in your heart, it don't mean a thing, does it? So God is not saying here, when he talks about the left hand and the right hand, he's talking about a relationship with him. Worship always comes forth from a relationship with him. And what God wants us to understand is that the searching part is so real, because God knows that you're searching. What are we searching for? We're searching for answers. We're searching for who we are. We're searching for feeling. We're searching, let me tell you, your need. God knows your need, and out of your need, you're searching this morning. And God created worship as an expression of that. You remember when Paul and Silas were sitting in the jail cell that night, and they began to worship? It wasn't the songs they were singing. It wasn't the melody of the music that was playing, because there was no music. It was the attitude of the heart. And God wants you to understand this morning, whether you sing a hymn or whether you sing a praise and worship song or whatever music you listen to, whatever, that is not worship. It can turn into worship, but real worship is an attitude of the heart. Real worship is saying, God, out of my need, I need you. How many of you know you'd be riding down the road with no music and worship? How many of you know when you are hurting so bad, you go in that bathroom and tears are just flowing? And your heart feels like somebody has ripped it in two. Did you know, God, I need you? Do you know that's worship? Whew. I feel that this morning, because how many of you are hurting sitting in here this morning? I know that you're hurting. And Job said in chapter 13, I know that I read you out of chapter 23, But early on, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But yet, as you read all through Job's life, you see he's up and down, he's up and down. One minute he's saying, God, where are you? And the next minute he's saying, well, I know, God, you're going to be there. You know what that says? He's struggling. And out of our struggles, God wants you to know he is there. He is there. And this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but I know God would not allow me to speak a message like this if somebody wasn't going through it. I believe that worship is the answer to whatever you're going through. Worship is when we simply stop and say, God, I need you. In conclusion, worship is communication. Worship is communication. Worship is saying, God, I'm mad at you. That's worship, yes. Worship is saying, God, I'm hurting, and I'm hurting real bad. That's worship. Worship is saying, God, I don't understand where you are. That's worship. Because what you do, listen, the worst thing you can do is when you're hurting is to close everybody out. How many of you know that when depression comes in, what's the first thing depression wants you to do? It wants you to stay away from everybody. If you've never had real depression hit your life, then don't make fun of it because it's real. If you've never been hurting so bad in your life, you just wanted everybody to leave you alone. Isn't that how we are? You don't even want to answer the phone. Am I preaching to real people this morning? Am I preaching to anybody this morning that's going through anything? Well, I want to tell you, if you are, there's an enemy out there who wants to close you out and just destroy you. But I want to tell you, there's a God who wants you to understand that what you're going through, He'll be your God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Job just... though his wife tells him, why don't you just curse God and die? That's good information, isn't it? And he said, you speak like a foolish woman. Because that's a foolish thing, even though you're hurting. Now keep in mind, confusion is a big part of the enemy's attack. His friends are telling him this, and he's starting to believe it. His friends are telling him, well, I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't be going through all that, and I can't identify with this super spirituality. I'm sorry, I'm just an old redneck country boy, and I can't identify with this super spiritual faith that if you had real faith, you wouldn't go through nothing. Well, Jesus said that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, Jesus said that, and I think the man knew what he was talking about, don't you? No, I wish I could tell you that if you serve God, you never have another tear, never have another sorrow. There is a place you will find that, and that'll be in heaven. But right here, you're going to go through some stuff. And as you go through some stuff, there's going to be some attitudes comes out of you that you're not even going to believe. Have you ever been so angry that that's just not yourself? Have you ever took the head off of somebody and then handed it back to them and said, I'm sorry? Oh, my Lord. That young gonna sit there. Oh, praise the Lord. I've never done that, Pastor. Who am I preaching to this morning? Amen? I've just never said a harsh word. A lot of us are like Peter. Just cuss you out. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Cuss you out and cuss you out in Jesus' name. There's a difference. Amen. But the truth of it is, we're human, and we hurt. And the hurt of the hurt is to think nobody cares. But God does. Have you ever been hurting so deep you didn't know how to explain it to somebody? And you, here's the bitterness, and here's the hurt part of it. You wanted to tell somebody, but you were so mad at everybody you knew, because you knew they already judged you. Amen? Now y'all going to sit right there and act like you ain't... I don't know what he's talking about. But it's the truth. But I'll just, God is saying Job was a story that lets you know, as you open your heart up to worship, God, I don't understand none of it, but I know I love you. I want to tell you this in closing. How many times have I said that? He loves you. He loves you enough to stand there with you when you don't even want him to. He loves you enough that when this world is enough and it's time to move on, that he'll take your hand and take you from this life to another life. Isn't that a wonderful God? He said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? I love you so much that you will never taste death. Say, hold on just a minute. I went to a funeral this week and it was a Christian. What do you mean you'll never? This body may fade away, but when you breathe the last breath here, your next breath is celestial air. You don't know what it is to die. Is that a loving God or what? Job felt that he was at that point, but God was with him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. God led me to speak this message today because I know a lot of people are hurting and a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff. And a big part of that hurt is confusion. I don't have nobody to talk to. Nobody understands. He does. And worship is when you begin to open that heart up and say, God, you're going to have to help me. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Most of all, God, I thank you that even though we suffer in this world, you said, God, that the sufferings of this world are just for a present time, just for the present time, just for a little while. Because you were going to turn joy and you were going to turn sorrow into joy. And God, I ask you today, Lord, there are a lot of people in here that's going through a lot of stuff. They're hurting in a lot of different ways, emotionally, financially, future-wise. They're just going through a lot of stuff. And the enemy's putting all these things in their mind. But God, let them open up their heart to worship and say, God, please help me. Please help me. And I know, God, you will. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you this morning.